Please note that assistive listening devices for the use of the council chamber are available upon request from the staff at the clerk's office or down here to my immediate right. Also, please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent, please. And I want to introduce to everybody Ethan Roberts, our community coordinator in the clerk's department. Ethan.
This is where you're at.
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
So Ethan and Councillor Downey will be doing a cappella for the national anthem tonight. I will now call on Councillor Downey to start the meeting with a prayer and the national anthem.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from the parochialism that divides and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will to the glory of holy name. Amen.
Disclosure of pecuniary interest. Are there any members of council who have to disclose pecuniary interest tonight? None. The confirmation of minutes being held on September 12, 2017. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that the council meeting minutes dated September 12, 2017 be approved. Well, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to have the minutes amended. So I have a motion here. I'll provide it to Devin. She can put it up on the screen. Motion to amend the September 12, 2017 minutes as per Town of Caledon Procedural Bylaw 9.1 on how minutes shall be recorded, that the following motion be added. Devin? The procedural bylaw says that all motions considered need to be represented in the minutes. And my residents called me and they were having a hard time following the minutes of September 12th because all there was an amendment, not the motion. And so I'd like to have the minutes amended to reflect the motion.
So I'll wait. So question is, I'm a little confused on this. So the motion itself is, are you looking for the motion itself as published as such? Is that what you said is not?
That's correct. When I was reading the minutes, it has the amendment one, but you don't know what the original motion was because it wasn't included in the actual minutes. And it clearly says that the motions shall be considered and votes taken by council and except as provided elsewhere in the bylaw. All of the decisions are authorized actions without note or comment. So I'd just like to have the, all I'm asking is for the minutes, or the motion to be included in the minutes.
Can we just put that up on the screen? Do I need a seconder, first of all? Do I have a seconder? Don't have a seconder? Oh, Councillor Groves? Okay. Okay, Councillor Misapelli?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I don't know that I have a problem with the request, but I'm wondering through you to the clerk if we can just understand and be assured procedurally. I have no idea specifically what the matter was, or so I'm just wondering through you to the clerk if we can, if I can get confirmation procedurally what is being requested.
So through the mayor to Councillor Mezzapelli. I wasn't aware of this amendment. So if you could place it on the overhead. So no different than you are doing this evening, as members do at the Region of Peel, when you are voting on a motion at council, you're voting on the recommendation that came from General Committee. So on September the 12th, just as you do this evening, you were voting on a recommendation from General Committee. At that time, at the council meeting, that motion was amended. And so council voted on the amendment, and that became the final decision. And so that's what's minuted, no different than we've always done procedurally. That's what's minuted in your minutes. For if you look to the September the 12th minutes, you'll see that there was an amendment, and that's what was voted on.
Okay, so just so I understand it from the public's perspective, as far as following reports and recommendations, committee and council, if I were to go to the committee, I would see the original
correct
recommendation. If I went to what came out of committee, I could see the amendment that was made.
So the amendment was made at council.
At council, sorry.
Yeah, so it's no different. Sorry, this has caught me off a little off guard, so excuse me.
So as far as continuity and being able to follow, if I went to committee, I would see the original recommendation. If I went to council, I'd be able to see the amendment.
Correct.
So I'm having trouble understanding why this isn't...
And likewise, and this actually amendment actually causes an issue for amending the minutes because procedurally you need a mover and a seconder. So what happened at the general committee meeting was the notice of motion. It became the recommendation of general committee. So by putting this into the minutes, it won't show who moved it or seconded it or what the vote was. So this is, in all my experience, I've never had this happen to me before, so I apologize.
Okay. I guess this will be my last comment, is I understood from the mover the rationale here was because it was difficult to trace what the original motion was and what eventually got passed by council. So clearly I can see what was recommended, what the recommendation was that was before council at committee, which I assume, which is this.
Correct.
And then at council, there was an amendment that was made, and that too is stated. So I'm having trouble understanding how it can't be followed.
Councillor Shaughnessy, you're done, Councillor Misapelli?
Yeah.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. Let me try to explain a little bit further. Our own procedural bylaw says all motions considered, and this motion was considered at council.
If you, sorry,
and then
Jonathan,
was refer. No, it passed at committee. It came to council, and at council it was referred to for many different things, but it was considered. So all I'm saying is, by our own procedural bylaw, it says, and I'm happy to push it over to you.
So the motion at council that was considered at council, and I will read it right from the minutes. Excuse me, hold on. Sure.
It's
page 7. It says that the August 29th Planning and Development Committee report recommendation regarding the notice of motion regarding the review of processes and policies for small businesses be adopted. No different than you are this evening is that recommendation you're being adopted. There was an amendment, and it reads there as follows. So the procedural bylaw, you're correct. It says all motions considered and votes taken by council. So the motion on the floor at council was that the August 29th recommendation be adopted. This motion itself, word for word, was not being adopted. It was the recommendation.
Well, I hope when we put motions forward that we're going to follow what's in a motion.
It's up to each individual member of council to understand what they're voting on.
No, I've seen many motions sitting in the agendas. Not only that, so Rob also asked, how does it make it difficult?
Yep.
Because you're asking people in Caledon to have to go and figure out when that original motion, what agenda it was sitting in. Sometimes it's quite a long time. We had minutes from June 20th, and 2 months later, we're putting them through. So from a transparency and accountability, I believe this motion, as because the motion that was sitting at council got referred, but this was the motion. I mean, you may have had an abbreviated version, but that was not what came to committee. The full motion came to committee. And it had much more to it than a one line.
Yep. Through your worship to Councillor Shaughnessy, you're correct. This motion in front of you was debated at committee.
No, it didn't get debated at committee. It went through without no debate.
It was accepted on consent.
It was that motion was accepted on consent. Yes.
And at council, members of council chose to debate it, which you have every opportunity to do.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Councillor Bedford?
Yeah, not to belabor, but I just want to clarify through the clerk, if I may. Our minutes of council meetings reflect a final decision made by council after a series of motions are put forward, and it could be several, but the final motion is what's voted on, and that's what's reflected in the minutes. Is that correct?
Through your worship to Councillor Beffert, that is correct.
And have we done that on this date and all previous dates?
Through your worship to Councillor Beffert, in my opinion, yes, you have.
Thank you.
Okay. There's no further questions. I will call the vote. All in favor of the motion that's as amended? All in favor?
Sorry.
Who does? I have nothing on the board. Councillor Misapelli.
Sorry, Mayor Thompson. I just want to be clear before we vote on this. So what Councillor Shaughnessy is referring to is 9.1 D. The minutes shall record the final recommendations of the committee for council's consideration. So I just wanted to be clear. It's just difficult for me when this comes, and then I've got to refer to the procedural bylaw. Okay, I won't tie us up.
Thank you. All right, I will now call the vote. All in favor? Opposed? Fails. Now I'll ask to go back. You have another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael?
You know, have you got
it's
this
a problem one? With, yes.
Did you present these to the clerks ahead of time, Councillor Shaughnessy?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. I wrote them up this afternoon. I had to get a second opinion and a third opinion.
So through the mayor to members of council, in accordance with the procedural bylaw, they do need, all your amendments need to be in writing and signed on the form. So perhaps we could take a few minutes break so that
can
happen.
All right, let's take 10 minutes.
I don't think
bring
it,
all your
I don't
motions
think
forward.
It's, It's a query as to the recommendation of counsel.
All right. I think we're getting confused here, so let's call a recess.
No, you voted on that. Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could I just say? We voted on that. Now I have my B part, was I have a concern with the actual referral. Pardon?
Councillor Shaughnessy, all right. So what are you asking? Are you asking a motion or what are you asking for?
I'm wanted to explain, and okay, then I'll ask the clerk and I'll show her what I have, but I want to explain it.
Okay.
Because I've worked really hard to understand, and as the clerk knows, I've been in touch with her office numerous times since the minutes came out. So I would just like to go through and try and provide clarity. Okay. So just bear with me for a second here.
All right. I'm going to call a recess.
Okay.
You talk with the clerk, and then we can figure out where we need to go forward here. So I'm going to call
okay.
10 minutes.
That's fine. Department, I appreciate it. Okay. So the clerk's department is saying that I need to bring this as a motion at next committee. But what I wanted to say here and at council was the referral of the Small Business Summit, and I just want my council members to know this when they go and support the minutes, which I won't be supporting. I just want my council members to know that we referred something to a non-existent committee. It does not exist. And I think that's, from a transparency point of view, I can't support something that we as council referred to. And what I'm referring to, just to be clear, is the Small Business Enterprise Concierge Service Review. It does not exist. So I'll bring a motion at next committee meeting as per the clerks advising me. I appreciate that. And we'll move forward at the next committee. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
All in favor of the motion? I mean the minutes of the meeting. All in favor? Opposed? It's carried. Any urgent business or business matters at this point? If not, I'll go to the committee recommendations. Following recommendations from the Golf Tournament Committee. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that September 26, 2017 Golf Tournament Committee report recommendation regarding Caledon Council Committee Golf Tournament and grant application process be adopted. All in favor? Carried. And we're now going on the recommendations of General Committee for September 26, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that September 26, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2017-97, 2018 Council meeting schedule. Staff report 2017-87, Recreation Services Management Software Solution Single Source. Staff report 2017-107, Group Insurance Market Review. Staff report 2017-94, Property Tax Legislative Policy Changes. Accessibility Advisory Committee report, June 26, 2017. Recommendation from Accessibility Advisory Committee regarding 2018 Priority Work Committee Work Plan. Accessibility Advisory Committee report, August 31, 2017. Recommendation of Accessibility Advisory Committee regarding the design of Mayfield West Seniors Apartment. Variance report, signed bylaw. Confidential staff report 2017-20, proposed or pending acquisition of land by municipality, expropriated land, Simpson Road, Ward 5. Confidential staff report 2017-21, proposed or pending disposition of land by municipality, portion of town road allowance, Ward 1. Confidential staff report 2017-23, proposed pending disposition of land in the municipality portion of town land, Ward 4. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor DeBoer, that September 26, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Confidential report 2017-22, personal matters about identifiable individuals, committee of adjustment appointment. Confidential staff report 2017-18, personal matters and identifiable individuals, seniors task force appointment. Confidential staff report, personal matters for identifiable individuals, Walk of Fame nominations. Staff report 2017-103, Southwestern Ontario Integrated Fiber Technology update. Staff report 2017-111, impact analysis regarding town's approach to cemeteries. Staff report 2017-101, indoor bocce court naming rights. Staff report 2017-113, proposed bicycle route pilot program. Staff report 2017-116, West Caledon Visitor Traffic Management Committee. Staff report 2017-92, 2017 capital status update report. Request to present from Dan O'Reilly. Council remuneration update, confidential report 2017-24, advice subject solicitor client privilege, litigation including communications necessary for that purpose of 12423 Heartlake Road, Caledon, Ward 2. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, the September 26, 2017 General Committee report recommendation regarding staff report 2017-104, Callan Centre for the Arts summary of options to be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, September 26, 2017, General Committee Report Recommendation regarding staff report 2017-106, proposed fence bylaw be adopted. Okay, we have an amendment. Moved by Councillor Mizzapelli, second by Councillor Innes, that the proposed fence bylaw be amended to delete sections 4.3 and 4.4 and replace with the following, that 4.3, where privacy screen is constructed on or as part of a deck or platform, the height of the privacy screen shall not exceed 2 meters as measured from the top of such deck or platform. Okay, Councillor Mizzapelli, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just to provide some background, we spoke about this at committee. Previously, the height was measured from the ground, and I illustrated there were instances that I was certainly aware of, and I'm sure in each of our wards, where there's a walkout where the main floor deck is elevated above the ground. So almost without exception, they would not be allowed to have a privacy screen. So what this does is it takes the measurement from the deck and measures up there, and that will control the privacy screen so that those with walkouts will be able to have privacy screens just like those who have decks at ground level. Thank you.
Thank you. No further. Councillor Beckford.
Yeah, I think as we move forward, we're having more and more townhouses and stacked townhouses, and this will be an issue, and I think this solves part of the problem anyway. Something else will come up to bite us, but I think this is really important for people.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no further questions. All in favor of the amended motion? It's carried. Oh, we got another amendment. Okay, we got a second amendment here. Moved by Councillor Mizzapelli, second by Councillor Innes. The following proposed fence bylaw be amended to delete 5.7, section 1, and replace with the following, 5.7. No person shall discharge water from a swimming pool such that the water flows directly or indirectly into a storm sewer unless it has been prepared in accordance with the guidelines approved by the chief building official. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Eric Thompson. And just as background on this, as I mentioned at committee, this is almost exclusively how I've witnessed pools being emptied. And so in conversations with staff, I was looking for a resolution that wouldn't almost de facto put people in contravention of a bylaw while respecting the quality of the water being discharged. And what I understand working with staff is that while this permits it, it must be approved by the chief building official, and part of that will be a period where that water will have to sit to dechlorinate before it's discharged into the storm sewer. And I understand also there's some conditions where it might actually have to go into a sanitary sewer. So I think, again, here it allows what is happening on the ground with protection that the town wants installed to make sure that the quality of water that we're putting into our storm sewers predominantly is not going to affect our stormwater system.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilor Shaughnessy?
Need some clarity on this. I understand about directly, but indirectly. I mean, when I had a pool, I don't have one anymore, we put the hose on the lawn, and most of it seeped into the lawn, but some of it would eventually seep out and become going to the stormwater sewer system. So I'm just wondering why you have indirectly, because the best scenario would be for somebody to put it on their lawn, and if some happens to go in, well, then yes, it does happen to go in. But so I didn't have the conversation with the building department. Councillor Mezzapelli, maybe you could explain that better to me, please.
Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. And to Councillor Shaughnessy, I think that is whether you put it on your lawn or directly onto the road. The key they want to catch here is the quality of the water. So whether you directly put it onto the storm sewer or indirectly, the staff just wanted to make sure that chlorinated water wasn't entering the waterway. And so that's why it's saying directly or indirectly. And the guidelines will capture the quality of the water, ensuring that dechlorination has occurred before any water is entered into the stormwater.
Okay. All in favor of the amended motion?
I meant to push it one more time. I apologize. Okay, so I understand about the chlorination, and I just want to be clear here, because it almost sounds like somebody's going to go out and test the water and make sure it's okay before it goes into the system, which would be totally over the top. So are you saying somebody's going to actually test it and decide that it's okay to go into the stormwater sewer system at that point? Because I know we don't have the manpower to do it.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Shaughnessy. So staff, when necessary, go onto each property to find out if they're discharging water incorrectly. It's based on enforcement. However, we can certainly educate the public on how to discharge their pool safely so that it's not going to the storm sewer and it is being done correctly. So there's a, in the memo, it actually refers to several municipalities that actually do offer education pamphlets to explain to residents how to discharge their pools, and staff can do that to educate the public on that.
Okay. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Just to wrap up on this, Mayor Thompson, I think what we might end up having here as a result of this is certainly, you know, this is happening anyways. And what we can do here with an education component is actually get more compliance with what we're looking for than we currently are having. So, and I failed to mention, I apologize, thank you, Ms. Tollett, about the educational component. I think that's key. You know, can we ensure absolutely everyone's doing it? No, but we're not doing that now. So this will take us to a better place in having water of a certain quality entering the stormwater, which is of the town's interest. Thank you.
Okay. No further. Councillor Befford. Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah. This could be of extreme importance to a lot of people. I guess my question goes back to the building department or the planning department. Building. If, in fact, there are municipalities that are creating that have these pamphlets, that I would like to know what it says before voting on this. I mean, if that's what our plan is there a chance that we could see that kind of material? Because I'm just thinking about some people that, well, I won't go into details, but, you know, I think, as Councillor Mezzapelli says, there are a lot of people that could be affected by this.
Ms. Tollett?
Thank you.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Through the mayor to Councillor Beffert. So currently what the bylaw says that no person shall discharge water from a swimming pool into it. So that's been in our current bylaw. So when we looked into it further, as it says in the memo, it does show that some municipalities, and we did talk to the region, we talked to the MOECC, we did talk to the conservation authorities, and they did provide us with some information. Because of the tight turnaround, staff are suggesting that we do provide guidelines to residents when they do want to empty their pools. However, if you want specifics of what those guidelines, they're not prepared at this time.
Well, can I at least know that those guidelines will be come back to council when they're formulated, that we can see them?
So through the mayor to Councillor Beffert, we can provide you absolutely, they won't be voted on, but we can provide you those guidelines.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I'd like to see those guidelines as well, because I'm not sure what's in it. So I think one of the other things, and I'm going to tell you, I think most people don't know that they're not to be discharging into the storm sewer, because I've seen people draining their pools and it's going directly into the storm sewer. And I guess I have another question, and we're concerned about water quality, but I think quantity is important as well, because we saw in this spring and summer with the heavy rainfall, a lot of flooding. And part of the flooding is because the storm sewers are backed up. Garbage is in there. It hasn't been cleaned out and that. So quantity is also important. And maybe through you to Mr. Wong, I don't know how we address it. And maybe we address it through the educational piece as well, because we know that the rainfalls are more significant than in years past. So are we concerned about that?
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Quantity is a concern, and I believe Council has approved a ramp up of the town's capital budget for stormwater infrastructure. We presented to Council, I believe, a few years ago that we need to spend on an annual basis about $2 million a year on improving and cleaning up the town's stormwater infrastructure, stormwater management ponds. And as of the end of 2017, I believe Council approved $1 million, so our plan is to continue to ramp that up to $2 million over 4 years.
Right, and so, Mr. Wong, if I understand correctly, I think we have about, 70 storm water management ponds as well right across the town. And I know there's an issue. There's an issue with quantity as well as quality. So can you tell me where we are now with respect to how far are we into cleaning out? Because it's the stormwater ponds, it's the stormwater, the sewers, and it's the it's the ditches as well.
Mr. Wong.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Certainly the stormwater management ponds have been cleaned out, and those awards are large awards. They have gone through council. On an annual basis, the town cleans out the catch basins, and we clean out the ditches. So we are doing operating maintenance pieces every year, but some of the major projects, like the stormwater management pond cleanouts, that is why we need the $2 million a year. And I believe it was outlined in that previous report. It will take many years for the mm-hmm. town to clean out all of our stormwater management ponds.
Right, thank you. And so I'm in support of this motion, but I would like to see and understand what those guidelines are, what other municipalities are doing as well. And just another piece, the region of Yale is also concerned about its storm water, its sanitary sewer system, and I think it's all sort of tied into the same thing, because the reason they're concerned about it, and we just approved the $19 million for regional staff to go and clean out these sanitary system because of this surcharge happening because of the heavy rainfall, because water is getting also into the sanitary system, which it shouldn't be. So I'm concerned about the quantity, and I'm just tabling it because I know my residents, they've had a lot of flooding. People's basements have flooded this past spring and summer. So thank you.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay. Public awareness is key. I get that. And I'm being a bit of a stickler here on the part about indirect. I totally understand about emptying into stormwater sewers. I know at the region when I had a problem with fluoridation, I said, oh, my God, we fluoridate the water, and it goes in. You water your lawns with it. You do everything. What a waste and sort of overkill. My point here is that Councillor Mezzapelli says to me that it has to sit for 10 days before it can go out, when in fact the water coming into the pool was chlorinated probably to start with, because most of the water comes from a pumping house that already has the chlorination in it. So what level of chlorination is suitable? I'm just thinking that, you know, if they discharge it on their grass and some seeps down, that would be A-OK. But how do we say what level? Like, the water really is already chlorinated probably when it comes there. So I don't quite get it. And I understand Rob's good intentions because I support the directly. But the indirectly has got me a little bit baffled because there's nobody going to be checking the quantity of chlorine. And it probably came already chlorinated. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts. I probably wouldn't support it because of that, because how do you regulate it? I would love to, like Councillor Grove said, I'd love to see how other municipalities handle it, because there's no sense in putting something in that's not enforceable. So thank you.
Councillor McClure.
Yeah, hello. The problem in the rural community, I see it, is public relations, because in the rural community, somebody in a corner lot dumps the swimming pool onto the field when the farmer wants to plant something or harvest something, and that's a serious problem. If we're trying to educate the public, they should be educated about that, to talk to. That's all I got.
Thank you, Councillor McClure. Councillor Ennis.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Through to staff, how do you plan on educating our residents about this change? Will it be present in their tax bills, or what forms of communication other than putting it on our website? Because I do understand where Councillor Mezzapelli is coming from. I think that it is important that both directly and indirectly that this knowledge is shared, because groundwater seeps through into our water table. So if it's heavily coordinated or chlorinated or any other chemicals that you're using in your pool, we need to make sure that those are evaporated as much as possible before they enter our groundwater and get into our water table. So I understand why we have it directly and indirectly, but I'd like to ensure that we are going to take an opportunity to educate our residents on this change to make them aware of it. So have staff thought about a way of communicating, or can we give direction to staff to think about putting this information other than just on our website?
So through the mayor to Councillor Innes, no different than any other information that we provide through the bylaws. If you've noticed lately in our town page, there's a lot more information about our bylaws. So it would be through the town page, through social media, anybody who gets a fence, a permit for a fence for a pool, we definitely provide it to them. So we'd use every opportunity that we could.
Okay. And I think it would be great if there was an opportunity to put it in one of the tax bills, just because it reaches a lot more people than our newspapers seem to. So if there's that opportunity to share it that way directly, I think that that would be a great opportunity, and I'd be happy to share it on my social media as people are now draining all of their pools.
Councilor
and maybe a notice to the businesses, I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Bedford?
I guess my concern is I'm being asked to vote on this, and it says, unless it has been prepared in accordance with the guidelines approved by the chief building official. I do not know what those guidelines are. And if I don't know what the guidelines are, I don't know to vote yes or no. I really believe that we need to take a look at what the guidelines are, because the first question that I'll get from someone, or even more importantly, those in the urban areas, so what do I do? And I think that's a very crucial question for them.
So through the mayor to Councillor Beffett, remember, currently this bylaw doesn't permit it at all,
right,
in either the sanitary or the stormwater sewers. And this bylaw will not be taking effect until January 1st, or the proposed for 2018. Mm-hmm. So if you choose to vote in favor or not in favor of that, that's up to you.
No, I realize it's up to me. I'm just saying I would prefer to wait until we saw what the guidelines are. That's what I would prefer to see.
Okay. I think what everybody's, I think what's is what building chief official is, it already exists now. I think they're just, while we're looking at the bylaws, just making it compliant, because it is, that's what's expected. So yes, what is it? Well, I agree. But it already exists. It isn't like it's something new. It's just we're being, you know, we're just trying to bring everything into compliance is what the idea is. Councillor Groves.
If I'm hearing correctly, and I'm hearing concerns about what these guidelines are, so, I mean, I would put a motion of referral that we refer it back, and then at that point, the clerk can come back with some of these guidelines and other things that members of council are looking for. So yeah. I'm putting a motion of referral.
Seconder. Okay.
Sorry, just so I'm clear, through your worship, is it referring this amendment or referring the whole bylaw, or what would you?
No, we're referring the amendment.
Just the amendment itself.
Because I think what councillor.
I don't think like.
What Councillor Befford is struggling with is that part of it that says unless it has been prepared in accordance with the guidelines. And what I'm hearing from Councillor Befford and others is that we're not sure what those guidelines are. So having more information before we actually vote on that, and I don't think that that's such a bad idea.
Okay, so it's referred, not deferred, so we can take questions. Councilor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I won't support the referral for one simple reason. This amendment is an enhancement beyond what we have currently. It currently is forbidden for anybody to empty their pool into a stormwater management pond or a storm sewer. And there is no recommendation as far as you could have just chlorinated the pool and you could dump it. There's no educational component currently. So what is being proposed is moving forward to help control water quality going into stormwater ponds. And I know staff have committed to providing that guideline, and basically all it is letting the water sit so the chlorine off gases and reduces to an acceptable level. So anything we do is better than what's happening right now. The only reason I brought this forward is because I saw the conflict of having a bylaw, which is exactly what happens almost 100% of the time. And so what I tried to do is find a way to make it permissible with guidelines that allows that water quality to fall under into an acceptable range. The clerk has identified that she's consulted with conservation authorities. So what it actually looks like I'm not going to say it's irrelevant, but it's going to be to get to the place that the water is less chlorinated to the point where it can be discharged into the storm sewer. So I know that that's what is going to be provided. It's not going, and that there will be an education component. And so to me, that is the goal, is to enhance compliance, to control the quality of water in our stormwater management system. And this does that. So staff did a good job in reporting back. I know the guidelines will be coming. Right now, there's nothing, and except an absolute, you can't do it, which we know it is happening. So this is going to allow us to enhance conformity and enhance the quality of water being discharged. So I see it as a positive. I know staff will come up with the guidelines, and that's what it's going to be, is a reduction in chlorination. That is the key. So I know it's coming. I know the education component will be there. That's all I need to know. And so I won't support the referral. I do support the recommendation of my amendment, and that's how my vote will be shared. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, just to confirm, and I kind of understand where Councillor Mazzapelli is coming from now, but if we don't approve the amendment, then basically what we've got, because the original bylaw has prohibited the emptying of a pools of storm drains anyways, and the current bylaw just carried that forward. Is that correct?
Madam Clerk?
Through your worship, that's correct. So the current bylaw does not permit it. However, from what I understand, Councillor Mazzapelli's amendment would permit it with a number of guidelines.
Well, I think it's quite clear when you look at the memo that we've got here, too. It does talk to using, essentially allowing the gas on the chlorine to come off and lowering the level of chlorine in the pool, which you can do this time of year pretty easily. So I see that by having the changes that's being proposed, it would actually make things a lot better, and we can address it at this point, and it'll be in effect the 1st of January, I guess, when the new bylaw comes into effect. Okay. I don't know if I could support, and really don't see it necessary. The memo actually does cover off the ground, so I wouldn't support the referral.
Councillor Befford?
Well, I think Councillor DeBoer makes a really good point, and I would accept that. I just hope that staff understand how important it is that we have material to present to our folks when this happens, and a couple of them have been mentioned. At the end of the year, when you're pumping your pool down, you don't put new pucks in anyway. So it's very simple to tell people how to reduce the amount of chlorine that you're putting anywhere, even on your own lawn. And that's important. The other thing is there are probably some new items on the market that you can put on the end of your discharge hose to remove the chlorine. Those are the kinds of things that people would need to know in order to say, oh, okay, I didn't realize that that was something that I could do. And, anyone that goes out and starts putting pucks in their pool at this time of the year, you can tell them how costly it is. So, reduce it and just make sure that we've got those items that we can say, here are some techniques that you can do, and if you do it, you can discharge. That's the key. But I think Councillor DeBoer makes a good point.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
I'll continue to support the referral because I think it would only take a matter of weeks for staff to come back to us. It's not a long referral, and I'm desperately trying to do some Googling here. But salt, when you do a saltwater pool or salt, its chemical formula is sodium chloride. So, I mean, I think it's good intentions, but once again, it's tough to manage it unless you know what the chlorine level was of the water coming into the pool and what's going out. I support the management. I just think I'd like to see what the guidelines are being proposed. So I'll continue to support finding out a little more information before we jump on this because chlorine is naturally in our environment. So, yes, I'll still support the referral. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor of the referral? Opposed? It carries. Okay. Now we'll go back to the motion is amended on the
right.
Okay, we've got a third amendment moved by Councillor Mizzapelli, second by Councillor Innes, paragraph to be amended by deleting 650 and replaced with 500, adding the words the fee to be reviewed in a year's time with appropriateness at the end of the paragraph. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So on this one, I raised this, excuse me, at committee. And the reason for it was, and I've dealt with a few instances where the fee to go through the process we want residents to go through can sometimes be viewed as being prohibitive. So I looked at the $650 mark, and I fully respect that this was staff's best guess at a number. And it's also worth noting that this is a number significantly lower than the current process of the Committee of Adjustment. So that's certainly worth noting. But when I looked at the number, I just said, is that a reasonable number? Is it what is it out there in the marketplace? And in the memo, it indicates on average what they would expect this would take, and it was roughly $300 to $600, somewhere in that range. And so what I am proposing here is somewhere in the middle, which is $500. And as we do annually, we review our fee bylaw, that staff look at the applications for variances in this new system and see if that $500 is appropriate, if it's too high, too low, and then in a subsequent fee bylaw review, amended as appropriate if needed. And that is entirely what you have before you there. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Well, I agree with Councillor Mizzapelli. What he said is that some of our processes and policies are prohibitive. And I guess that means we need to streamline them so it's a little bit easier for our residents to handle it. So I definitely support it. I thought $650 was way too much money. So, Councillor Mizzapelli, I support you on this. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor? Carried. Okay, now back to the original motion as amended. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that September 26, 2017 General Committee recommendation regarding staff report 2017-110, penalty and interest of late property tax payments be adopted. All in favor? I got to see hands, guys. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that September 26, 2017 General Committee report recommendation regarding upload of Albion Vaughan Road be adopted. All in favor? Oh, amendment. Sorry. Moved by Councillor Mizzapelli, second by Councillor Groves, that the road King Street be deleted and replaced with Mill Street. Okay, all in favor of the amendment?
I'm on board.
Carried. Back to the original motion. Oh, as amended, I got Councillor Mizzapelli. You already voted on it, so.
No.
The amendment's been voted on.
I never saw the amendment. And I didn't put my hand up. Without
well,
it being on the screen.
You guys. All right, I'll take the vote again.
Does anybody want to speak to it?
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I do support the amendment, but I just want to make sure, and for clarity through you, Mayor Thompson, to staff. I don't want this. I know there's been extensive discussions and meetings with our staff and regional staff on the uploading of Albion Vaughan and the downloading of the section that was in the original motion. Now, with moving it from King Street to Mill Street, just I want to make sure and on record that this is in no way going to delay the uploading process of Albion Vaughan Road, because those folks along that back on there are quite concerned, and I know that we're doing some noise studies and we're moving that process forward. So I just want to confirm through you to Mr. Wong that this would in no way delay that process.
Mr. Wong.
Through Mayor Thompson, I talked to regional staff last week, and they do not believe this will delay that process. Moving it basically further north to Mill Street, it's something that they'll be investigating, and they'll make recommendations whether to extend it to Mill Street or to keep it at King Street.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So I propose this amendment to the motion. It's in keeping with the intent of the motion, which is basically asking the region to upload Albion Vaughan and for us to assume a portion of Queen Street. But to me, this is much more than a road swap. And when you look at the section of Queen Street that we were considering taking, the northern terminus of that section was right at the four corners of Bolton. And from a community perspective, a planning perspective, a visioning perspective, I saw a very strong opportunity with the town taking ownership of that and jurisdiction of that roadway to implement a lot of the recommendations that have been put before us in studies and projects and visioning exercises. I saw this as a great opportunity, much more than just a road swap exercise. And it's for that reason alone that I suggested it move to Mill Street. With that, you get the entire commercial core of Queen Street in Bolton captured, as opposed to it being bisected in half. So that is entirely the reason. It is not politically motivated or driven. It is entirely to put the town, who has the greatest, most vested interest in this area, in more control of what happens there, and that is a good thing. Our community has asked for that, and I think this helps provide us that in a more timely and wholesome way. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor of the motion? Carried. All in favor of the original motion, now, as amended? Carried. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor Innes, that September 26, 2017 General Committee Report Recommendation regarding Confidential Report 2017-26 Proposed Pending Acquisition of Land, Municipality or Local Board 13068 Humber Station Road be adopted. All recorded vote? Sure.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor McClure, Councillor Innes, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Groves, all those opposed? Councillor Mezzapelli, the motion is adopted.
Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Mezzapelli, that September 26, 2017, Planning and Development Committee report be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that September 26, 2017, Planning and Development Committee report recommendations regarding the consent items be adopted. Staff report 2017-109, recommendations for allocation or designated heritage property grant funding for fall of 2017. Heritage Caledon report dated September 11, 2017. Caledon Area Families Inclusion, Caledon Housing Initiative, and confidential staff report 2017-25, the advice of subject solicitor client privilege litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality, appeal options for committee of adjustment decision, A 027-17, 40 Diamondwood Drive, Caledon, Ward 4. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor McClure, that October 3rd, 2017 Audit Committee recommendations regarding external audit services be requested for proposal award be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Now we'll go on to presentations. I will now call upon Geraldine Aguiar, Director of Health Services, and Faye Davey, Manager of Transportation Support Services, Caledon Community Services, approach the podium to provide the presentation concerning Ministry of Transportation Community Transportation Project. You do have 10 minutes with the procedural bylaw, and if there's any questions of clarification from members of council, we'll be asked afterwards. And we have Monty Laskin as well, CEO from here, is here tonight from Caledon Community Services. Welcome. Geraldine, it's all yours.
Okay. Hello, I just apologize for my voice today, so you have to bear with me. My name is Geraldine Aguiar, and I am the Director of Health Services at Caledon Community Services. The transportation program is one of the services within the division that I oversee. Thank you for the opportunity to provide the report on the MTO Community Transportation Pilot Program. We thank you, the Town of Caledon, for partnering with us. Although we're not here tonight to request funds, as you hear our report, please recognize that CCS has no capacity to continue this pilot beyond March 31st, 2018, the funded period. Within this context, CCS has no plans to pursue funds to maintain the same level of transportation to Caledon residents ages 8 to 59 years old who have benefited from this pilot program for the last two years. This is one of the gaps that we are hoping will be considered as the town pursues its own transportation studies that is ongoing now and champions the vision for the future. I am joined tonight by Faye Davey, our manager of transportation at CCS. She and her team were central to the implementation of the pilot program and will provide you with more details on the project's performance.
The 2014-17 Caledon Community Strategic Plan identified program access as a priority. Specialized transportation was available for Caledon seniors over the age of 60 and people with short and long-term disabilities. The program was the service was provided by Caledon Community Services Transportation. As you can imagine, many Caledon residents did not meet the current criteria. They did not have transportation through any organized community-based transportation or public transportation. A transportation service gap was identified. Youth, non-senior, and people with short and long-term disabilities between the ages of 8 to 59 needed access to medical services, work and training programs, employment support groups, and social services. I'm sorry, I just need to correct that. That's people who didn't have disabilities. In 2015, opportunity knocked. The Ministry of Transportation announced a community transportation pilot grant program to provide financial assistance to Ontario municipalities to develop and implement community transportation initiatives. The Town of Caledon, in partnership with CCS Transportation, submitted a proposal and were successful at securing the funding. The project funding was to be used to develop community transportation solutions to local transportation needs, could develop new initiatives, but could also build on current transportation services. The Ministry of Transportation Community Transportation pilot project was up and running in Caledon by April 2016. This project is not public transit. The project expanded eligibility criteria to include non-senior, non-disabled residents between the ages of 8 to 59 for transportation to medical services, employment training, and social service programs. The project leveraged Caledon Community Services transportation administrative infrastructure, so implementation was immediate. We optimized routing strategies so that each bus vehicle capacity was maximized using the shared ride model program so that all clients going to different destinations rode together on the same route. this optimized project, our savings, our program savings. We utilized all agency-owned vehicles. We acquired a new vehicle donated by the town of Caledon, and the project was funded for 3,300 rides. The program was to run for 1 year, but since we have had additional funding by the Ministry of Transportation, it is going to continue to March 2018. Originally, the program was supposed to run from April 2016 to March 2017. The community transportation program requires clients to register, pre-book, and prepay for rides. Rides are scheduled on buses or with volunteers depending on destination times. And using the shared ride model program, multiple clients travel together on a route to different destinations. Operational costs are promotionally allocated through four distinct transportation programs based on each program's utilization of vehicles, staff, and operating requirements. The rides are mapped through Trapeze software, which is provided to us by the Region of Peel, and the service is available from Monday to Saturday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday 6 a.m. to 2.
Overall, the transportation program provided 37,000 rides annually to over 400 clients. Currently, four transportation partners address the needs of Caledon residents. Approximately 20,000 rides by MOHLTC, 10,000 rides for TransHealth, 4,000 rides for Passenger Assistance Program, and of course, the newly 3,300 rides through the MTO Community Transportation Program. Our partnerships is what helps us optimize our operations. FACE talked about sharing vehicles, the combination of train paid and volunteers, coordinated booking and scheduling, leveraging our current dispatch technology, office space, and infrastructure. That's what we call our four-base home run, serving the most people at the right time, at the right price, of course, with the best local workforce. So the CCS, can you just flip that to the next one? Yeah. The CCS transportation program receives funding from various sources, the LIN, the region, and MTO. I'd also like to acknowledge at this time that the town of Caledon also contributes a percentage of your DGT to CCS each year, so thank you. Transportation is an expensive business. As we think about building a transportation service, please recognize that it's always challenged by the question of accessibility and affordability for its riders. CCS has experienced decreased funding as an organization over the past year from both the municipal and provincial level. Our fundraising is not nearly enough to cover the deficits in all of our programs while also supporting an unfunded but very important program like this Community Pilot Transportation Initiative. Saying this, to be clear, we want to be part of the solution. We have met with Eric Chan and his team. We are eager to support and be woven into the Transportation Master Plan. We want to be a partner. The integration of specialized transportation is vital to any future transportation service. In summary, this project has definitely demonstrated that there is a need in Caledon for access to transportation services for residents under 60 and for adults without a disability. We hope to continue this project and hit our targets this year and be back to you with a very positive report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I have some questions for you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Thank you both for your presentation. Just a couple of questions. How much do we, the town, contribute annually to this? I don't know the dollar figure that we contribute.
Mr. Wong?
It was through a partnership, so we got the grant from the MTO.
But we contribute annually.
Oh, the DGT. I think it was around $17,000 this year.
Okay.
Mr. Wong?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. The dedicated gas tax comes from the Region of Peel.
Right.
And the town pays about 25% of that. So I believe last year the town's portion directly was around $6,000 to $7,000. The balance of it came from the Region of Peel through the dedicated gas tax.
Okay, thank you. And can you tell me how many, you said that this program was from ages, they were running it for ages 8 to 59. How many young people, do you have that number? How many youth use that program?
I do. Just a moment.
Okay.
The statistics in the last one-year period showed that there were 76 new clients participating in the MTO Community Pilot Program. 18% were 15 to 19. 25% were ages 20 to 24, with the majority being above 25.
And so that 15 to 19 age group, what were they using it for? Were they using it to get to their jobs, part-time jobs? What were they using it for?
The majority of those individuals were using it to access employment supports, were accessing community programs. Many of those individuals were participants in our Life for Youth program or our language instruction for newcomers.
I don't know that a lot of people were aware of your program. So how did you market this program? How did you put it out there? Because I hear from a lot of the youth, they don't even have a clue that this program existed. And I'm sure, because it's challenging sometimes as parents, we're at work, we can't always drive our kids around, but they're not aware. Most of these youth are not aware that this program exists. So how did you put it out there?
Through the mayor, yes. Councillor Gross. It was marketed heavily on social media. It was marketed on Twitter. There was information that went to the schools. It also went to all of the collaborative partners through the exchange. It was through the community networking group, as well as informed by the community networking group of the town of Caledon. So it was heavily marketed. What we did find, and in fairness to your comment, the workings of the program required people to pre-book. And that was one of the major
stumbling blocks,
barriers.
Right, right. Okay. And the bus, I wasn't aware that we donated a bus. When did we do that?
It was a van. It was a 13-passenger van that was donated.
A van? Okay. And did you?
2000s.
And you found that that was useful in your program? Okay. Well, I think that we're doing this. We're undertaking the study right now, and on public transit. I think the information you have is very vital to what we come up with here, to the decisions or the recommendations that will be coming from staff. So I'm going to suggest, and I think you just said you wanted to work very closely with Mr. Chan, and I think it's a really good idea to do that because I think your input is going to be important. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see more young people reached and make them aware that this program exists, because even my son, I have to drive him everywhere. And I don't even think him and his buddies know that this program exists. So I think it would be really important to somehow try and, yeah, sure, we put things on social media, but are they all connected to social media? The social media stream that we're using, I don't know how we do it. I certainly can put it out in the youth center at Chaz Place and let them know that this is available. Any information that you have that we can post at the center, I'd be happy to do that. But I think it is important that we do that. And so they know, because it's a challenge for them getting to their part-time jobs. That is a real problem, getting them there if they want to go to the store or access the... No, but you don't take them if they want to go shopping. It's for medical appointments. It's for their part-time jobs, which is really important. Part-time jobs is really important.
Just to clarify, it's not for part-time jobs. It's for employment supports.
Okay. Okay. So if they have a job part-time, then that's, can you look at that? Can you expand it to take them to?
We are waitlisting currently right now.
Okay. I think that information is important for Mr. Chan to have, so thank you for your presentation.
Councillor Misapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you very much for delegating, and sorry, I know your voice isn't the greatest, but I have a few questions, and I think you touched on it. Will CCS be a vested stakeholder in the upcoming transit feasibility study that the town will be undertaking?
Through the mayor, yes. To Councillor Misapelli. I'm not sure what vested stakeholder actually means, but we are going to be requesting that we be invited to work closely with Eric Chan and his group.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I believe Mr. Chan has already reached out and had at least one meeting with CCS on transit as part of the transit feasibility study. We have more public consultations to come, and anybody is welcome to attend and provide input into that, into this process.
Okay, so with that connection made, I'm assuming that you are on the contact list, that you will be contacted every time that there is a meeting, public meeting, because I know, I know transit is a challenge in our community and is a need in our community. And right now, CCS is, with the exception of, you know, the GO bus or a cab, the only means to transit, certainly for our seniors, which is well utilized, but this expanded role as well, which I think is going to become increasingly important. So I trust and I hope that CCS will be automatically connected and advised and engaged in this process, because I think your guidance is going to be of paramount importance. So the program, the extended program, will expire next year, March. Will CCS be providing a summary to the town as to, you know, before that expiry date, this is the program, this is how it worked, this was the uptake, as you are now, for our information?
For the yes. Mayor, absolutely, that would be something we would want to do. The strategic plan, as Faye had indicated earlier, is a important priority for the organization. We are finalizing a white paper on transportation that we'd be happy to share.
Okay, and I think it's key that you do, and I would look forward to seeing that. Are you able to give a sense for the cost for a ride? Is it dependent on the distance? Is it a flat rate?
The cost for us for the ride,
for the client?
The client. So it's $4. We do have a client guide for anybody who registers. So it's $4 anywhere in the region of Caledon one way. $5 to Orangeville, then $10 to Brampton. But what we've encouraged people to do is to go to a border and then continue on with public transit. So ideally, we would have liked to keep that bus in the vicinity of Caledon to be able to take people to and from and then to have a transfer point.
Okay. And again, kind of going back to the transit feasibility study and your input into that, I think it may come to the surface that some of the issues, I know other councillors have addressed, you know, potentially some of the others, is maybe those border ones. Maybe if we get some feedback from yourselves and what you're hearing from your clients, is if that's a challenge. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but, you know, if my destination isn't in that area and it's, you know, less convenient to then switch over to another form of transit, is there enough of a demand that validates and justifies an expansion? I think we need to hear all that stuff. The other question, and certainly I know that when this was raised to my attention, I certainly promoted it on my social media, and I think as a council, as a town, on our town webpage, wherever we can do it, on the page in the press, to get as much exposure behind this program, it's incumbent upon us to do that. We owe that to our residents. I think that was it for my questions, and I guess I'll just finish by saying thank you very much to all CCS does. It is incredible service, and increasingly we are recognizing it's a very needed service in our community. It's very underserviced in that regard, and you are providing that link, and so I thank you very much for that. And I look forward to seeing this come forward in the future when you wrap up your... Oh, I know, I had another question. Your target was 3,300 rides. Was that actually what occurred, or did you surpass your target? Did you meet your target?
We did 3,151.
Okay, and that was...
In the first year.
Okay.
Yeah, we attribute the 5% shortfall is because of the marketing. So as people started to know more about the program, demand for the program increased over the year. Now that we're in year two of the program, we're going to continue with the outreach and marketing, but there's no lag now. There's no lag for demand.
Yeah, and I think that's something this council is going to have to consider when that expiry date comes, seeing the value in the service and what we're going to do to fill that gap and to allow this to move forward. So you touched on the uptake growing month after month, and I think with effectively getting the information out into the community, I know there's the need. I know there is. So whatever we can do to help promote it, I believe your numbers will only increase and be more successful. So I thank you again for the service you provide and looking forward to continuing to engage with CCS on matters of transit. Thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you to Faye and Geraldine for coming. I appreciate it and respect all of the work that you do. I know Faye could probably program the entire town in her head. So it's taken a couple of times of going through the shared ride and really so that I understood it as I do. So thank you for all of your work. I don't have questions. I actually saw this presentation at a board meeting ahead of time, so I was able to kind of take it in and also take it to the region. The September 28th meeting at the Region of Peel, we did have discussions surrounding affordable transportation pilot programs and results. And although this is a different model and offers a different type of support, it was amended into the recommendation at the time that they would be looking at this program as well, and not necessarily to repeat it, but to use the information that you've gathered and move it forward, knowing that we need to find an equitable solution across the board. Oftentimes, as Councillor Mazzapelli mentioned, things tend to, because we don't have public transportation like Brampton and Mississauga, things kind of tend to fall off the map a little bit when they get to Caledon. However, I think that we're at a tipping point with our population and the region are really working together with the town in our transportation master plans to see that there is a need and we have to fill it. We know that healthy communities are built on people being able to get to work and get to shopping and get to doctor's appointments and school programs and whatever it may be. And in order for us to keep our community thriving, we have to support that at those base levels. There was a really interesting story, actually, that was shared at Regional Council about a mom choosing McDonald's over a healthy cooked meal because the bus ride for her and her three kids to get to the grocery store was over $20. So she took the $20 and just took her kids to McDonald's because it was closer. And that we know that that doesn't serve our community well. We know that, our kids then aren't eating healthy, and it just hits on all different levels. So I just want to say thank you for everything that you do and know that I'm taking it forward.
Councillor Befford.
Well, I want to thank you as well, and I want to make it clear that your presence and visibility in rural areas, Ward 1, is essential. Your buses are noted in many, many places, and particularly for the aged and particularly for those with disability. Two questions. One has to do with scheduling. I know that some of your buses have more space for wheelchairs than seats. And so that must be a problem for you when you're trying to balance with people that want to ride to go to work wherever. How do you do that?
The design of the buses have changed a little bit. So now that we have foldable seats, so when the wheelchairs aren't in place, we have foldable seats that drop down. So it allows us to take more ambulatory clients.
Yeah. I know we use your buses for the hockey tournament in Alton, yeah. But it's easy for those kids to sit on their hockey bags,
yes.
But not as much when you have regular passengers.
Yeah.
I guess my next question would be, I look at the partners, and I look at the Lynn and the Region of Peel and the Town of Caledon. How, and I guess I'm directing this to Mr. Wong or perhaps the mayor, how is this going to come back to us? Because I'm sure looking at this presentation, there aren't very many of us, if any, that are going to say we don't want this to continue. So my question is, how is this going to come back to us to help make a decision beyond March for this to happen?
I'm going to leave that to the CEO to answer.
Yes, I know that Mr. Wong has had some discussions as it relates to the further development of this particular service. So I don't know if this is the appropriate time to
give that full rendition, but what I maybe would suggest is that Mr. Chan writes a memo to council with all the pertinent information, because between Mr. Wong and myself, we won't have all the facts at our fingertips this evening, but
right.
we will endeavor to do that in the next week or two for council's consideration.
And I appreciate that. It's just a matter of, I want to make sure that it does come back to us so that we're part and parcel of what has to happen, because this is a crucial part of what we do in Caledon, and thank you very much for doing it.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Maybe when it comes back to us, you could provide, I know we were talking ages, but I'd love to see geographical allocation and where, like Ward 1 or Ward 2 or Ward 3, 4, 5, who's doing what, how many do we get from here and where do they go? Even the traffic patterns, I think, would really help Mr. Chan's feasibility to know exactly where did they start and where did they end. I think that's key. But I'd like to see ward by ward how this plays out. I think it's a valuable service. I'd just like to have that information at hand. You probably already have it. You can send it all up to us. That would be fine, too. I'd just like to see it. I'd appreciate it. Thank you, ladies.
That's all the questions, but thank you so much. And Geraldine, your voice made it. And thank you, Faye, and thank you for the good report. Thank you so much. I will now call upon Leslie Brams-Baker, Manager of Corporate Affairs, Mars Canada, to approach the podium and provide a presentation concerning pet-friendly community.
Good evening. Good evening, and thank you very much for having me this evening. And on behalf of Mars Canada, I thank you very much for being able to have this opportunity to talk to you about an initiative that's very near and dear to us. And I assure that going forward, you will see a lot of pictures of puppies and kittens as we go through the presentation, because it just adds part of the presentation. Anyways, but before I do that, just a little bit about Mars in Ontario. Not sure if everybody knows, but certainly our national office and home is here in Bolton. We've been here for 30 years. We first started our factory here in 1986, and we are owned by a privately owned company. It's still privately owned family, which is fifth generation owned, so very different feel for a family business. And then after that, we opened up our food plant, and now we have 695 associates that we say it's equivalent to employees, we call associates, here in at the Bolton office. We also have a plant in Guelph where we make our Royal Canin products, and that's 280 associates. And then a new market, which always smells great, is where we make chocolate, and I love to go and visit there, and that was established in 1987, home to 150, and then we have our Wrigley Toronto office as well, which was established in 1911. So in total, we have about 1,300 associates across Canada for the business. So that's just a little bit about us. And the initiative that I'm talking about today is about being a pet-friendly Caledon, and talking a little bit about the benefits that pets have to a community, helping it to thrive, helping people get out and be active. And we've done a lot of work around this in the U.S., so I have some insights and learning that I wanted to bring here. And then just really provide you with awareness of what we're doing, but also ask for some help as far as ambassadorship and support in the future as we look to driving forward what could look like a pet-friendly community for Caledon. So we call it Better Cities for Pets. It's a trademark. I know we're a town, but that's kind of our big name. But really, it is about a place that can become a thriving community for homeowners, for pets. It's a place that people want to come and visit, either stay and shop and visit and tour and live as well. And so what we've been doing across the board, particularly out of Franklin, where we have our head office, is we've been piloting a project there around Better Cities for Pets. And it's in four sort of key pillars. What we look at are things like shelters, homes, neighborhoods, businesses and parks. So we've kind of broken it down into different pillars. So we've just started this in Franklin as well as Nashville. And we've been working with the local mayors in those cities to build a program. And basically, it's new, so we don't have lots of data of what the success points are. But we do have the mayors in those communities that are really supporting the benefits and doing a lot of things in those communities to say, hey, come see us. We're a pet-friendly community. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to visit. It's a great place to tour as well. And we thought, since we are largest pet business here in Caledon, also in Canada, we're the largest pet business, we'd love to trial something as well, given that this is our home of 30 years, it'd be great to trial something in Caledon that we could then take and really share out to other communities to help make it a better place as well for them. So what I'm really looking at here are, as we talked about sort of those four pillars, these are just really ideas of things we could do within the town and things that we would take on and things that we would look and ask for help in with the town. But it'd be really, for us leading a lot of that dialogue, we have a lot of data to support how pets really make lives better and our communities better. And you almost don't really need data to support that, but we certainly do have data to support a lot of those initiatives. We would look to help support with community-wide adoption drives. I know that the town is doing a ton of work around the animal shelter, and it's an area we'd like to come forward. And we've talked with Councillor Gross on this initiative as well, that it's one of the areas we'd love to come forward to and help support, build the animal shelter a little bit further as far as a place that people know it's a great place to go. They know there's a leash-free park, whether you're adopting a pet or not, that there's a great park for people to gather and collect and enjoy. We also know the town is doing some work in the future around microchipping and vaccinations, and these are all great things that really make a community a great place to have pets and to build up your community, our community profile. The other one is in homes. So I know that, you know, we don't have control over bylaws, but as we look at new home development, if the town is looking at a new residence or area, that, you know, leading some dialogue around, have you thought about it being a pet-friendly community, a pet-friendly housing development? What we find is a lot of times we have folks who are moving from homes into condos for whatever reason that might be, or apartments, and there's bylaws to say, you know, you can't bring your pet, which is, that's how pets land into animal shelters and go for adoption. And if, you know, there's more support around town for any new builds that could support this nice transition, you can bring your pet into your new home development or housing development, that'd be fantastic. Advocating for pet-friendly policies. And then when we look at parks, so it's really looking at, when you review existing parks, are there opportunities to, you know, simply do things like watering station for pets, signage for pets, education around what responsible pet ownership is when you're in a park and when you have someone that's visiting the park as well and they don't have a pet, but they want to see pets on a leash and they want to see all the great things that go along with you collaborating together. So looking at existing parks to see, are there any enhancements we can make, or as you look at building new parks, having pets in mind. We were recently talking with the Rotary Club. I know that there's a walking trail that they're working on, which is a wonderful place for people to gather, and we are going to be chatting more with them about, is there a way to just enhance the pet-friendly value of it so that people are encouraged to bring their pets as well. So looking at things like that as the town continues to grow and encourage more folks to build and people to come and live and stay. So from a business perspective, what we'd like to do personally is we'd love to start to work with businesses, working through the Caledon Chamber of Commerce to chat with businesses on how they could become pet-friendly, so that if someone's coming to a local event, they're sharing in one of your community events, that they can also take their pet, stroll down the street, go for a coffee, maybe go pick up something in the store, and they know where they can go that's pet-friendly, so they feel comfortable kind of taking their pet and then shopping and extending their time in the town as well. Supporting local pet events. We recently did that with the Caledon Home Show. We thank the town. We were able to work with the Caledon, the Chamber of Commerce, to relax the bylaw, if that's the right terminology. And it was a pet-friendly event, and that was great success that people brought their pets in too, and also enjoyed the home show with their family, and it was really fun. So doing a little bit more of those types of things, and also where we can. We have a pet-friendly work environment. I have a minute and 30 seconds. Pet-friendly work environment, so we have a lot of knowledge on what it takes to become a pet-friendly work environment that we work with the town, other residents, businesses, really, on how to do that, and that at some point the town were to say, you know, in time, we're pet-friendly, come and visit us, and if there's a way to make some statements around that to support, would be fantastic. So we look at working together. It really is looking at some of those activities and really advocating from the town, or having support from the town to advocate in the future for pet-friendly activities or being supportive of a pet-friendly environment. And I am right in time with 46 seconds to spare. So that's
Thank you, Leslie. I know we have some questions.
Okay.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Leslie, for your delegation. I know we go back a long way, and I want to first say that Mars is probably, I'm going to say, they're one of the largest employers here in Caledon, and certainly a very community-minded organization. You've worked well with the community in many aspects, and certainly we're appreciative of that. I'm looking forward to working with Mars and continue a partnership with you on our leash-free park. Mm-hmm. As you know, when we built that animal shelter, that was done through a partnership with the Rotary Club of Bolton. Glad to hear that you are working with the Rotary Club of Bolton on this pet-friendly initiative, because I think they would have a huge interest in that as well, given the fact that they contributed a large sum of money towards the shelter on Coleraine. We do have residents, and I have one resident in particular who has a real interest in getting the leash-free park up to par, having something like an information booth there, and certainly there's a lot of work to be done in that leash-free park. There's a lot of partners at the table. There's ourselves and the TRCA, yourselves, and the community. And certainly, if whatever I can do to help you put it out there to these businesses, so we've got a lot of groomers in town. We've got the pet stores, and that's a great way to get your program out there, or your initiative out there, is through those individuals. And certainly with the one resident who is working tirelessly in advocating for improvements in our leash-free park. She's got a large following on her social media page, and I know they post a lot of things about pets and things like that on there. So it's very well received by the community, and I know we've had a lot of concerns raised by residents about the leash-free park, and it's something that we're looking forward to. So my question to you after all that is, what sort of timeline, and I know this all has to go into your budget, mm-hmm. in terms of a partnership with us on the leash-free park, what sort of timeline do you see with that, moving it forward?
Yeah, I think we'd love to see at least something before the end of the year, so that we're kind of up and running, you know, by spring, I think. Because we've already talked about it internally, so it's not something that we don't know isn't coming.
Leslie, I can get you to speak in the microphone, because the media can't hear.
Yes, here we go. Yes, so by the end of the year, I think would be great to have something a little bit more on paper. And as I was saying, that it's not something that's a surprise. So we know, we've been talking about it. So it's not like we'll be reaching out to our business kind of first blush. So certainly there's awareness. So I think by, you know, if we had more clarity between now and the end of the year, so that we're up and running before spring, I think.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. And I reached out to our staff. We do have Kevin Hayashi, who heads up partnerships here. And I've reached out to continue that discussion or from where we left off. And so if we could have it in place by spring, because that's where we get a lot of the complaints about the mud and all the other stuff. So I look forward to continue working with you and your group at MARS and moving this initiative through. So thank you again for everything you do.
Thank you very much, Annette.
My pleasure.
Okay. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you so much for your presentation this evening. Just very quickly, I want to thank MARS for all you do. You are an incredible employer in our community, and you've got a very unique work philosophy, calling everyone an associate, whether you be at the very top or an entry-level position, putting everyone on par as being part of a team. And I thank you for your commitment as a corporation to give back to the community. I know that it is a strong drive to volunteer in the communities where you are, and I've experienced that firsthand, and so I wanted to thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
With this particular venture, how will MARS be engaging? So with staff in the Parks and Rec Department, in the building department, to whatever degree that that's feasible, will you be actively engaging with town staff to launch out on these pillars that you've laid out?
Yes, ideally. I mean, what initially we were thinking of was, could we put together a working group? And we've had some initial conversations on that with Ben Roberts and Laura. Now, my understanding is, resources is a bit of a challenge, so I mean, ideally it would be great to have a few folks that we could pool together, because what would make this successful is it's not that we would, I don't think it would be right for us to provide a checklist and say this is what the town needs to do, but it's more of a collaboration, so we would need a bit more of that collaboration with members of the town, as we have been doing with Annette, to say, okay, here's some ideas we have, what are your needs, let's come up with a few key things that works for both. So I think in the absence of a working group in the interim, I would definitely, as we move forward, keep in touch with Ben Roberts on and team on, here are some of the things we're thinking about, and getting perspective. Does this work? Does this not work? Any concerns on your end? And try to do some collaboration that way.
Yeah, and I think you'll find positive uptake on staff side in working with you collaboratively, because there's no question MARS does not have to do this. You are choosing to do it. You know it's a good thing, and you want to engage with the community. So reciprocally, I think you're going to find with staff a very willing partner in that. The other thing you spoke about, and I went to the Tennessee webpage, the Pet Friendly Cities, and saw the map of the downtown and all the businesses that are opening their doors to pets. And you mentioned the chamber. I would also encourage you to engage with the BIAs. There's one in Bolton. There's CIRC in Caledon East, the Revitalization Committee. And even at a more grassroots level, there's farmers markets. I know certainly the Bolton Farmers Market, pets are welcome. You have the water dishes out there for the dogs. So, engaging with them, I think you'll find a very willing partner in the farmers market, and even conservation authorities. A lot of our spaces, what we have in spades in Caledon is green space. And some is town-owned and some is conservation-owned. But that's where people go with their pets and to enjoy nature. So that, I think, is another partner that you might want to engage with in helping this this vision become a reality. So I just wanted to offer that to you. And, again, thank you very much and for all MARS does and, going above and beyond. And that's what this is. I want to thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And I also appreciate some of the other contacts here, folks to reach out to. That's really helpful.
Thank you very much.
Well, Leslie, that's all the questions I have. But one is I think I look to speak to you further, just, compared to what, with Tennessee and what the other mayors have done in other areas and what we can do here to assist you. You're one of our champion companies here for what you give back. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on your new expansion, and hopefully we can do more in the future. It's great, and we're very proud to, I can tell you as mayor in economic development, I'm very proud to say, yeah, we have bars here in Gallatin.
Oh, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And going forward, thank you for taking interest, even though, you know, you do have a big pet food market, but taking interest in giving back to the community your home base is, we really appreciate it. And we look forward to working to see what options we can work out to see how we can move forward would be a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And thank you for coming to delegate.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We're now going to correspondence. Is there any correspondence that anybody wants want to have brought forward? Councillor Mizzapelli.
excuse me. Thank you, Mayor Thompson. The one on the Municipal Act, I just had a couple of questions I was wondering if I could ask. One that I've always kind of struggled with is under meetings. It's on page, I can't even see the page number. It's roughly page 2 or 3. And it talks about a meeting is where quorum is present and members are discussing or otherwise dealing with matters that materially advance the business of council. And we've always struggled this if we have like a training session, is that a meeting? If I know Councillor Beffert mentioned it to me just recently. There was a public information center next door where we were talking about the transportation. And we had a number of councils present because we wanted to engage with our community. And I think your attendance would have made quorum. And so he hesitated as to whether that would be an appropriate place to enter. And I think for us, we need to understand, and certainly I don't think that was advancing the council business, but that we need to have the freedom and feel confident that, you know, we can, as a group of councillors, be together in a place where we don't have to worry about whether it's a formal meeting and whether someone has to step out. So I don't know whether that can be answered, but certainly those are some of the questions I've had surrounding an official meeting.
Madam Clerk.
Thank you, through your worship, to Councillor Mizzapelli. So with, and you are not alone. I think municipalities all across Ontario have always struggled with the meaning of meeting contained within this Municipal Act, and that's why I believe the province actually came out with a specific definition in regards to what a meeting is. Unfortunately, until it's challenged either by a closed meeting investigator or in court, we won't understand really the length or the complexity of this definition. We are, because this amendment doesn't take effect until January 1st of 2018, in the upcoming months we will be presenting a report to Council in regards to all these changes and how our procedural bylaw will needs to be changed to include these. So we can address that a little bit farther with that staff report.
Well, I appreciate you taking that concern forward. And I'm thankful that a report's coming because that's something I certainly would support, looking at how comprehensive this list of amendments is. The other one was with respect to climate change, and it's under environmental standards. And authority has been granted to local municipalities to enact bylaws that require buildings to go basically beyond Ontario Building Code, in recognition of climate change, which we all know is real and has real effects. But when I looked further on under the chart, it said no action was required. I'm just wondering, is this something, certainly I would be interested in at least looking at that, to provide that extra level of engineering, if you will. And I'm just wondering if I can get a response to that query.
Certainly. So through the mayor to Councillor Mizzapelli. So the chart really is to show what changes have been made in the Municipal Act. The amendment in the Municipal Act regarding environmental standards is now permitting municipalities to actually pass bylaws to do those things. So right now there is no action required because we now have the authority to do that. Staff will take that into advisement, and I'm sure if there is something that does meet those requirements, they could bring a report forward, and council could then pass a bylaw in order to meet those requirements.
Okay. Okay. Appreciate that response. And certainly I'd be looking forward to at least exploring that. The last question I had, Mayor Thompson, was with respect to the adoption of policies. It talks about we are required to maintain policies, and one of them is the protection and enhancement of the canopy and natural vegetation in the municipality. I'm wondering, and I'm sure this will come through in a report, but is there any preliminary comment from staff on how we might negotiate that requirement? I think this is a good thing, a very positive thing. I'm just wondering what that might look like.
So through the mayor to Councillor Mazzapelli, I do understand that the Region of Peel actually has a policy in place that the town of Caledon is a part of. So again, as part of that, we will be making sure that we meet with the requirements of the Municipal Act with that policy.
Okay, I look forward to seeing that. Thank you, Mayor Thompson.
Okay. Councillor Bedford.
Yes, I wonder if I could just go back to the comment that was made by Councillor Mazzapelli regarding public information centres. Quite often public information centres are held in the evening, say from 6:30 to 8:30 or 9, and councillors are running from one meeting to another. And can you tell me if the rule with regard to quorum applies in that particular case?
So through the mayor to Councillor Bedford, yes, the rule has always exists. It does take place. However, the key thing which they changed in the Municipal Act is if your attendance at that open house would actually impact the decision making. So if five of you were at an open house and you sat around maybe with the presenter and talked about potential things or ideas, could that potentially materialize the decision making? One could make the argument yes, that could. However, at the same meeting, if five of you were just passing ships and not talking, then I would probably say that wouldn't advance the decision making. So I can't give you a really black and white answer, unfortunately. And again, as I repeat, a lot of municipalities and clerks across Ontario have struggled with this. That's why the province has actually tried to clarify the definition a little more.
Thanks, I think.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
I was just going to say, to Doug's point, regional council, there's five of us, always at regional council. At the region, there's five of us. What we don't do is discuss business as five of us, but we could be eating lunch. But we are not in a meeting because we are not discussing the business of Caledon. So if five of us happen to show up at a public meeting and we're not trying to convince each other and discuss it and try to move it forward, then it's not a meeting. We just happen to be. I've been to a number of, I've been to AMCTO and a number of conferences where they say that five of you may be in a vehicle going off to a conference. Because obviously it's better to have all of you in a vehicle, saves on gas and everything. And so long as you're not in that discussion, you leave the business out, chat about the weather, chat about going out and having a good time, but do not discuss the business, I think is where they draw the line. I don't know if that helps.
Just a point of clarification. Yeah. I appreciate what you have to say, but five of you at the region are not a quorum. Five of us next door at a PIC are a quorum. That's the difference. And it's that question of whether or not you can make decisions together.
Yep. And I think to go forward, it's on, you know, especially for development days, and they used to have workshops that you could go away for personal development as a council. As a public forum, it's unfortunate. I know what the original idea was to cut the old boys club kind of mentality, but I think we processed against that, and unfortunately I was kind of hoping, because there's been a lot of things, I think there's better ways to do it, but they didn't touch it.
Just an aside, Councillor McClure and I went to a conference when we first started being councillors, and we wondered whether we should drive home together after they talked about who should be where.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. So my question through you to the clerk is this. If four of us,
are in a meeting, we're sitting in the same room, we're having a meeting, we're having a discussion, and one is on the phone. How does that work? Is that quorum or not?
We're still at five, isn't it?
So thank you. So through the mayor to Councillor Groves, that is an excellent question. And until in my opinion, it would be quorum, because again, it is still advancing the decision making of the municipality. But it's really up to the courts to decide that.
We need to be careful of that, because we did not know that, and we've done that, and we've had that. And so I think maybe a workshop or some sort of an education piece needs to happen for council, so that we know these rules and we don't step outside of those rules.
Okay, I think we've got that clarified. Is there anything else from the correspondence package that we need to look at? If not, I will now go on to announcements. And Councillor Downey, I'll start with you as the acting mayor.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, there's a lot of activities going on this weekend coming up in Ward 2, including Fall Fest, Terracotta Conservation Authority, and a number of other parks in and around. Hopefully we'll maintain this good weather that we've been having. You're actually almost too numerous. I think I have 8 different events on Saturday. But one actually announcement is that the Renew Revive Run has been postponed until April. So if people have registered for it, they'll hold your registration until April. Thank you.
Okay. We also have coffees, or I guess anybody else? Councillor Groves, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Brefford, Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Saturday is going to be a busy day in Bolton. At 8 a.m., with the Ward 5 Coffee with Council, we'll be at Mercato. And then at 9 a.m. at Four Corners Bakery, the mayor and Ward 5 councillors will be present to engage informally with residents and supporting local businesses. The other is on the same day, 10 to 12, the Bolton and District Horticultural Society will be doing a tree planting in the North Hill Park, right adjacent to the Caledon Center for Recreation and Wellness. The last thing I have on my list is we just celebrated Harold Jane's volunteerism recently, and he is a driving force behind Caledon Cares, and they annually conduct a coat drive. It is on now and on until November 25th, and they will be receiving coats, mitts, hats, scarves, things in good condition that they will be handing out to those in need. If those who are interested and have something to donate, they can contact him, and I got permission to share his information, haroldjanes@bell.net, or on Facebook you can find him under Caledon Cares. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Ennis?
Yes. So coffee with council for wards 3 and 4. The first one starts at 11, and it's at the Palgrave United Kitchen, which I think they mean Palgrave United Church Community Kitchen. And then at noon, which doesn't really give us
well,
any
they think
travel
I'm Superman
time.
I can fly from one to the other.
For it in Tom's Family Restaurant in Caledon East. And also that afternoon from 1 to 4 is Fall Fest at the community center next door. And then on the 15th is also the Palgrave Fire Station's Pancake Breakfast and Open House in the morning.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On Saturday, October 14th, we have the pancake breakfast in Alton at the fire station. And then, of course, all the other coffees. But I think I wanted to draw everybody's attention to, don't know who's got tickets, but we'll put it out there, the dairy event at Glen Eagle, the murder mystery, is on Saturday night. I'm sure there are still tickets available. And look forward to see everybody there. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Befford.
Yes, I'd just like to comment that we've had a number of house break-ins in Ward 1. And I say that because people will have to do what they have to do. But the OPP have been just tremendous in responding in two ways. One, they do have a workshop which actually they're going to present next Monday night at the annual meeting of the Village of Inglewood Association. And they provide material for folks to talk about, look at their own homes. But more importantly, they also provide a service where they will come to your home and they will take a look around and talk to you about what might be some suggestions. Accepted. So I just commend the OPP for the way they've handled this. It's very disheartening to come home after a period of time and find that your house has been broken into and you've been violated. So we're doing what we can in Ward 1 to get that out there and to have people helping and look out for one another.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. We had our firefighters in Bolton had their pancake breakfast on Sunday and or Saturday. They're selling T-shirts to raise funds for breast cancer survivors and that. They still have T-shirts available for sale. They're $20, and it really all the funds will go in support of folks who are fighting breast cancer or breast cancer survivors. And I know Milanote Lingerie Store, they also have T-shirts, and a number of the merchants downtown Bolton have T-shirts. And I think we're selling T-shirts here as well. I don't know if we're sold out here, but I'm just encouraging people in the community to come out and buy a T-shirt and support this cause. I think that cancer has touched the lives of so many people that, whether they're family or friends, I'm sure all of us know someone who's been touched by cancer. So I'm asking that you buy a T-shirt. $20 is not a whole lot. I know that there's a lot of money that's needed for research and development. So just putting it out there, we've got T-shirts available. Thanks.
Okay. Also, I'll say Sunday we have a pancake breakfast at Palgrave as well, so you can eat pancakes all weekend. So, and also grand opening of Roxy's in Bell Fountain as well. So, and then the following weekend, we might as well mention too that we have the Ward 2 at Butter and Cup and then Cheltenham General Store and then Ward 1 at 11, Bell Fountain General Store. And we only got one? Ward 1? I thought we had two. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think so. So we'll figure that out. All right. But anyway, I just thought we need to do that. And also just remember on the 28th, we're having the Walk of Fame for everybody at 11 o'clock. And we have the open house for the Palgrave, for the Caledon East Paramedic Station as well. Also, I want to say, too, that I did mention last time for what's going on in October. But also October 1st to 7th was Ontario Agriculture Week. And the month of October is Love Your Library Month, which I was scrutinized that I didn't mention in the last council meeting. So I want to bring that up. Is there any council inquiries, starting with Councillor Downey? Councillor Groves?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just an inquiry regarding the Small Business Summit. I want to... We had a booth there, and so my question is, what process did we take? And I didn't receive an email or anything that I could volunteer, or any of us could volunteer. I know some members of council were present, and I did have some of my folks who showed up there and said, how come we didn't see you there? So I'm just asking, how did we do this? I don't remember getting a memo, so how did that happen? Some of us had to pay, and if we're volunteers, you don't have to pay. So how did it work?
Well, I think we all paid. I paid for both days. The one thing I will say is I was there because, and I volunteered at the group. We had a booth there, and it was open to everybody. And listen, I've had a lot on my plate, and I dropped the ball on this. I should have corresponded. That was supposed to be me. And listen, I'll take full responsibility, even with my office. Councillor Groves, call me out on it, but it was a success. Unfortunate lessons learned, but next year we'll try to do a better job to get all the council out to do that.
Thanks for manning up, because it's something that I think that all of us should be participating in. We all have businesses in our community, and
and we need to be there to show solidarity in supporting these businesses. So thank you, Mary Thompson, for acknowledging that. And it's not an accusation, it's just a question. And hopefully next time going forward, maybe if you don't remember, I'll jog your memory.
I had good intentions, but let me tell you,
absolutely.
My life has just turned upside down. So
I understand, and I certainly empathize with you, and thank you for that. So moving forward, don't worry, I'll remind you. Thank you.
Anybody else? Councillor O'Shaughnessy?
No, I just want to say thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I bought two tickets. Cost $150, but I thought it was money well spent because it was a great summit and it was supporting business. It was also supporting the Bolton Rotary, which I think did an absolutely outstanding job. And also the money was going to, and let me get this right, Girls Can Do.
Yes.
Can Do. So it was a good event, and it's always nice when local businesses come together to support one another. So it was a success from that point of view. Thank you.
Any other council inquiries? All I'm going to echo to that is I think it's, from what I gather and from the participants there, really enjoyed the workshops. They were well attended. But anyway, Councilor Bradford.
Just a shout out to all of the people that were part of the Fall Colors program. I know it runs again, but particularly our OPP volunteers. They did a great job. The weather helps to keep people away a little bit, but yesterday afternoon, we actually had one of our volunteers out there with a vest on, the OPP, directing traffic. No horns, nobody was moving quickly, but he just made sure everybody got through that intersection, and everybody was having a great time. So a shout out to the OPP and all of the people on that committee.
Yeah, the OPP auxiliary are amazing. No question about it. A big shout out. Okay, we're going to go into bylaws. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that the following bylaws be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-59, Bylaw 2017-60, Bylaw 2017-61, Bylaw 2017-62. Oh, we got an amendment. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that Schedule N in Bylaw 2017-60, Bylaw to amend Bylaw 215-058, being a bylaw to regulate the use of highways and parking on highways, and to repeal the certain bylaws, bicycle routes, be amended to remove the following. The section of the Humber Valley Heritage Trail is not the subject of the level of service targets, and this section of the trail is not subject to the level of service targets. Has everybody got that?
No.
There you go. I'll give you a minute to read it. I think personally this is a clarification of a bylaw.
So through the mayor to members of council, this is a clerical error that we made. We did not remove the two asterisk parts below the schedule. It was part of the staff report and creation of the bylaw. We forgot to remove that. So procedurally, we have no means of removing those points without council's approval.
Okay. All in favor? Carried. Now back to the original motion. All in favor of bylaws? Carried. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Mizzipelli. The following bylaw be read first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-63. Bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the council for the corporation, the town of Caledon, is council meeting held on the 10th day of October 2017. All in favor? Carried. Councillor McClure, you want to move adjournment? Second by Councillor Mizzipelli. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.